This episode of The Girlfriend Bracket is brought to you by Gathering Magic and CoolStuffInc.com. With free shipping on orders of $100 or more, a 25% buy list bonus, and their ever-popular customer rewards program, CoolStuffInc is the store for all of your Magic the Gathering needs. Everybody, this is episode number 65 of The Girlfriend Bracket. My name is Erin.
I'm Hallie.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Chris.
Hallie, we have you back.
Yay. It's good to be back.
You sound much better than you did last week.
What happened last week?
We had our friend Aaron from Turn One Thoughtsies on the show, and when we introduced him, we did this gag where he was you. So I did the I said, I'm Aaron, and he was like, I'm Hallie. And then we did it. And then I was like, Hallie, you sound like you've got a little something in your throat. And he was like, oh man, he's like, life's just been really hard lately. So we kind of ran with it for a couple seconds there. So we're glad to have you back.
I knew I liked that guy.
Yeah, he was a joy to have on the show. It was probably our silliest episode yet. Like, even when I was editing it, I was just like, what were we on? Like, what? But it was a good time. I think we need those episodes where we can just sort of cut loose every now and again. Mm-hmm. Speaking of cutting loose, Katie, I understand you got the package that Aaron sent you.
I did. He sent me a train whistle so I can choo-choo on my popper stream.
And will that motivate you to stream now? Like, do you look at that and think, I gotta stream?
It will. I went around the house and I was like, and I was looking for it before the show, and I realized I packed it because I'm moving next Monday. So hopefully after I move in and get everything settled down, it'll be more feasible.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, Aaron basically, like, conceived Katie's dream for her, where Katie was like, I don't have a theme. I don't have a point. He's like, trains. He's like, you got a whistle. Watson's your conductor. Do the thing. And she was like, well, I guess I have to do the thing. And he was really a joy to have on the show, and hopefully people enjoyed listening to him as much as we had fun with him on the show. So our woman of excellence this week is a longtime friend of the show. If you've been listening to the show since the beginning, you might have heard us talk about her. She was the inspiration for the phrase Lumpy Doodahs that we coined, and we came up with our little team, our little hashtag Lumpy Doodahs. Her name is Miss Oslo, and she is a lizard. Unfortunately, Miss Oslo passed away the other day.
Yes, yeah.
And we decided to commemorate her and make her our woman of excellence because she gave us one of our most popular phrases. And Katie, why don't you say some lovely words about Miss Oslo for those who don't know about her?
Well, I got Miss Oslo, who's a leopard gecko, when I was 10 years old. Aww. And the sticker at PetSmart said that they should live 3 to 5 years. And every time she just kept living, I was like, I wasn't like waiting for her to die, but I was like, you know, any time now, you just keep getting older and older. But she made it to 12 years old. She came with me to college. She lived in my dorm illegally. She was a good lizard. She didn't like being played with, so I just observed her. But she had a good life chasing crickets and making hashtag lumpy doodahs.
Oh, well, Miss Oslo, we love you and hope that you're resting in power.
Yes, I'm sure she's having a great time with her bugs and stuff.
Oh, yeah, I was very sad when you said that. It's funny because you sent us an email and the email was like, one, my power's off, and two, Miss Oslo passed away. And I was like, no, Miss Oslo. I'm like, we'll worry about the power later. I was more sad about the lizard.
Yeah. I don't know. It was easier to let her go since I knew she was so old, and she did live a good long life. But I woke up and I looked in her little cage and I was like, oh, she's gone. But she had a good life, so.
Now, I'm curious, you know, you being around animals so much, like you working at the vet's office and everything, does that make you a little more, word I'm looking for, like just kind of, you know, like if I woke up and let's say I found my cat, you know, down, I would be devastated because I'm not used to that and I don't see that regularly. Do you find that you're a little bit more chill because of that? Because you sometimes see animals pass frequently? You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. I think that with other people's animals, I have grown a little bit more. I wouldn't say it's easier for me to watch them watch their animals go or anything, but It's a little easier for me to distance myself, I guess. Mm. But like, if I woke up and Watson was dead, I'd be a fucking wreck. Oh, it'd be awful. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think I've talked to lots of the vets I work with, and they're all kind of the same. Like, they're a wreck when it's their own animal, but we've all kind of learned, like, if it's somebody else's animal, we're empathetic and we sympathize with them, but, you know, you can't do that all the time or the job will just, like, eat you alive. So,
and see, I don't think I could do that. Like, I don't know. And that's the same reason I could never be a nurse or, like, work in the medical field. I would not know how to distance myself. Everybody who has a bad day, I would be sad over and I would want to fix them all, and I wouldn't know how to do that.
Yeah. And I'm sure Chris may have some insights on that too when she was working in the funeral home.
Yeah. Yeah. It was similar. Like, but I don't know. I feel like in some ways, like when I was in funeral service, when my grandmother died, it was easier for me to be there for her and like do her makeup and all that stuff because I had gone to school. And I think that if I had been in a different situation, maybe I would have handled that like more poorly, because I just remember my mom was like, oh, she died. And I was like, oh, okay. And then like I was fine for that week. And then at the end I was like, oh my God. But like, I think the job like helped me hold it together a little better. And yeah, you just kind of not like emotionally turn yourself off, but you learn that, you know, this is something that, you know, you're trained to do, that you're supposed to do, and you have to be strong for others when they really can't be.
Hallie, so, you know, you were not here last week when we went over our pre-release stories. And I know you also got a chance to celebrate the 5th year anniversary of Lady Flameswalker Society.
I did, yeah.
So how did those go?
It went pretty well overall. I got to go to 2 pre-releases. I wasn't all there for the second one because I had spent about 5 or 6 hours in the morning packing and moving all my stuff across Seattle. The first one did not go super well. My pool was not great. I didn't play my best, but I came back well rested on Sunday morning and I managed to go 3-0-1. I went 3-0 in my first 3 matches and then, played against an acquaintance of mine in the finals, and he offered to split and I said yes, but he still wanted to, you know, play out the match and get more experience. So we played a really good 3-game set and I happened to win that too. My deck was really good. I was pretty happy with it. I got to meld for the first time, which was really fun. I got to make a chittering host.
Nice.
And I had a lot of token makers in my deck. I had Crypt Breaker, which is the black 1-drop that lets you discard cards to make zombies. I had Noosegraff Mob, the 6-drop that makes zombies whenever any player casts a spell. And I had Call the Bloodline, an old favorite from Shadows over Innistrad, which lets you discard cards to make vampire tokens. So I would just like discard madness spells and get value and get tokens and then play Chittering Host and then give all my tokens menace, and it was pretty sweet. I was pretty happy with that deck. The LPS 5-year anniversary event was super fun. It was a chaos draft. We usually have chaos drafts for our anniversary events because a large portion of our player base really enjoys drafting more than they enjoy Constructed. And Chaos Drafts are just super fun. It's just a fun, casual way to, you know, play Magic and celebrate the last several years of Magic's history. So we did a Chaos Draft that was limited to the last 5 years of Magic, so everything from M12 forward. There were even some conspiracy packs thrown in, and so I was talking to some of my friends. Like, one of them was trying to decide what order he should draft his packs in, and we were all trying to convince him to draft conspiracy first so that if he got a world in it, he could then just, like, pick the best card out of each of his subsequent packs. I ended up with, I think I had, like, an M13, an M14, and a Dragon's Maze, so, like, nothing super flashy. But I did have a very solid blue-red tempo deck, which is one of my favorite archetypes to draft. I got a lot of flyers, I got a lot of bounce spells, and I had at least 5 or 6 creatures that had falter effects, like that prevent creatures from blocking. So the MVP of my deck was definitely Markov Warlord, which is an uncommon creature from Dark Ascension. It's a 4/4 with haste, and when it enters the battlefield, two target creatures can't block that turn. So that won me quite a few games, including a game where I was about to get milled out and had like 6 cards left in my library. So that was pretty cool. I'm really glad that, you know, my deck came together, because sometimes you do a chaos draft and things don't come together so well. But, you know, not only was my deck playable, but it was pretty good, and it was also an archetype that I enjoyed. So all in all, a pretty good night.
Now, you've been with LPS since the beginning, yeah?
Almost, yeah. So LPS has been around for 5 years, and I joined just after they hit their 1-year anniversary. So I've been around for most of it, but not quite all of it.
What's it like to really think about that and to see, you know, the amazing growth that it's had? Like, that's got to be pretty wild.
It definitely is. It's really interesting to think about just how much our local group has changed. I know Tifa talks a lot about, you know, the growth of the group overall, and it's definitely really wild from her perspective, I'm sure, to see just how much the LPS brand has expanded. I hear there are like something like 80 chapters around the world now, which is just beyond my comprehension sometimes. But just from my perspective as one of like the local group leaders, it's been really interesting to see, you know, just how many people have come and gone over the years and how much our group dynamic has changed. I know that when I first started, it was like a very, very casual group, and it still is to a certain extent. But I feel like I personally have motivated a lot of people in the group to, you know, become more competitive. And it's been interesting to see the sort of change in demographics where, you know, 4 years ago, most members of LPS wouldn't set foot outside LPS or outside, you know, their kitchen table Magic group. But now so many of the LPS members not only play at LPS, but they also go to FNMs, they go to pre-releases, and a bunch of them have been going to GPs, which is really great. So I'm really glad about, you know, the small role that I've played in, like, helping the group and, you know, sort of helping to even encourage some of those women to play in other spaces and help change the greater demographics of Magic.
Well, even the formats that you all play, like you had mentioned the last time you were on, you know, 2 weeks ago, that you guys were having your first ever Modern night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it that would not have flown like 4 years ago. Like if you had asked, if Tifa had come out and asked, like, hey, would anyone want to play Modern? I don't think anyone would have wanted to. No one even had a deck at that point. I don't think I even had a Modern deck 4 years ago. So it's definitely been a long road, and we've changed quite a bit.
So speaking of amazing things, Chris, I understand that you went 4-1 at FNM the other night.
Woo!
Thanks, I did. Much to my surprise, I guess. I don't know. I try to operate in any event that I play in now with like no expectations whatsoever and just kind of cruise on through it. I was rocking Titan Shift again. So I think that with more reps in, I think that's what I'm going to take to Indy. Unless for some reason I pull an audible and decide not to, but it's really been fun to play. So I'm thinking that's what I'm going to stick with. Round one, I got paired up against my friend Alex and love him to death, but his Tron Walkers deck just wrecks sometimes. It's just like super powerful right out of the gates. However, that was not the case this time. Both of our decks just literally were not doing anything they should have been doing. They were not performing optimally, and like the games were just taking so long, and it was like, oh my God. And like, it was just like, not really fun for either of us. It was kind of like, you don't have Tron, why am I not getting like enough lands, or like, where is this? And it was just kind of weird, but I ended up losing to him. He was my only loss. I went on to play, I think it was like a green-white deck. I don't think it was junk. I didn't really get to see too many things. I saw some Lingering Souls, and I was like, shrug, okay. Come at me with flyers, this is fine. I'll just scape shift. So that was not really too hard to deal with. Then I played this really sweet mono-white spirits deck, and I really dig that concept just because I still want to make Esper spirits a thing in Modern, and especially now with these awesome new cards we've gotten from Eldritch Moon, I'm like frothing at the mouth to like do this. So I'm thinking that's going to be my next little project that I'm going to start working on. And he had, you know, Intangible Virtue and all kinds of stuff, and like, what did he have? Secure the Waste, and he's like swinging at me with like Warriors too. It was like insane. I think at one point he was like, this is like 20 plus damage. I'm like, okay, we can go to the next game. But I ended up beating him. He didn't really seem to know, I think, what my plan was. Like, I think he saw me scapeshift and was like, okay, but it didn't really feel like he knew exactly what I had to do to beat him. But super nice guy. I always really like playing against him. I feel bad because I can't remember his name, but love him. he's really, really awesome. Then I got to play against Nick Hansen, who is always on Team Geist. It's his baby. He loves it. So I played versus him, and this is actually the second time in probably a couple weeks that I've beaten him. And he used to be a player that I was like, oh, there's no way I can ever beat him, and he's super good, and like we're both control players, and he just out controls me. And now I'm on this like sweet combo kick, and I'm like, yeah, now we're coming for you. So we've just been having a good time playing each other, and I just feel really good that like I'm starting to beat people now that maybe I didn't before, and I'm, you know, playing a different deck that, you know, has a different condition, different strategies. And, you know, my meta, at least at my store, is pretty heavily into people wanting to play control, so I have to pack some guttural responses because I'm not dealing with the blue counter spells. I also, with my deck, I made some little adjustments to it where I wanted to run some primal commands in favor of taking out like a Titan to try to deal with some things. And that's been really sweet. And like an Inferno Titan. So changed things up a little bit. And then I've also been working with some Beast Within to try to deal with some things that I maybe couldn't deal with before. So that's been really fun. And so I've been using some of my sideboard cards to kind of be a little more aggressive with him. And so I ended up beating him. And then my last match of the night was versus Malir Combo. And it's not really like a super difficult matchup. I hear from them that their matchup versus me is really bad. I guess it's just trying to figure out what I need to do to get rid of their creatures. Do I just keep angering until I can't anger anymore? Do I just zap things, get rid of their combo? So I definitely want more practice versus that deck before we go to Indianapolis. That is definitely something that needs to happen. And I was working on my sideboard after FNM this past week. And I actually added, and I feel kind of like a terrible person because it's in here, but I actually added a boil to my sideboard. So, like, am I really destroying all islands? Like, this feels wrong in some way. So it's kind of like that thing that you do that you know needs to be done, but it hurts you at the same time. So we'll see how that works out. But I was quite pleased with how well I did, and I was actually went up to the front of the store. I'm like, so do I get something for this? And they're just like, yeah, you get this much store credit. And I was like, whoa. I was like, this hasn't happened in like a long time. So I'm going to hold on to it because I could have the option to exchange it in for packs. I'm like, nah, I'll save it for some cards. So I'm hoping for some sweet wins this week. We'll see what happens. I'm just really happy to be playing the deck. It's super fun. And yeah, I just can't wait to scapeshift more people into the next millennia.
Wow. Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat with regards to Indianapolis. So I'm leaning towards bringing Modern Dredge, but I've kind of reached that point of playtesting where like I need to face specific decks. You know, typically my playtesting revolves around just doing a bunch of leagues until my eyes bleed. And, you know, there are just certain matchups that I keep getting that I know I'm good against. So it's like Infect is fine, Infinity is fine, Eldrazi Taxes is fine, Jund is fine. I'm not getting any Malira because it's really difficult to do the Malira combo online. So I'm not facing that at all. I haven't faced any Tron online. online at all. I haven't faced any Death Shadow online, which I understand is quite popular online. And so I find that just throwing myself into random queues is not what I need right now. So I need to be hitting up people who I know have decks that I need to face. Like our friend Barb plays Merfolk. I have yet to test the Merfolk matchup. So I think I might ask Barb to come online this weekend and do some Moto with me, and I can, you know, bash my deck up against hers and see how it goes. But that's the really difficult part about playtesting, is just sort of, you don't know, you know, you just don't get to face certain matchups, and you don't know if you're ever going to see them at the event you're going to. And now we have PPTQs coming up, and it's just that uncertainty makes me want to stick with Ad Nauseam, because I know that Ad Nauseam is fine against those things, whereas with Modern Dredge, I haven't quite figured out certain matchups yet.
Right, exactly. And actually, I talked to Chris Preston over the weekend, and he's like, you know what I need to test my Doran deck versus... He's like, I need to play it versus Modern Dredge. And I'm like, wow, you know, Aaron's playing it. I'm like, this is why we need to get a little gauntlet together, like a little group of us. I'm like, well, if someone play Burn, Aaron can do Dredge. You can do Abdan Butts, and I'll do Scapeshift, and we'll have a good time. Oh my God, it'd be so much fun. I'm gonna have to start planning this now.
I would love, you know, it's funny, you know, you had invited me to a team like a while back, or your friend Alex did, and I've never been opposed to like doing a team thing, but you know, my thing has always been like, if we're going to do it, I want to freaking do it. Where right. It's like, if we're going to do it, I want to have like a set day or two, and we meet all those days, no questions asked, and we know what we're going to do. And like, if I was going to do something like that, I'd really want to give it my best shot. So I'm not opposed. So like, if there was ever anybody who wanted to run with me or test with me, yes, I'm completely down for that. So keep me in mind.
Sweet.
Yeah. So Standard was the first open of the new Standard was this past weekend. I got a chance to see some of the coverage. Did you guys get a chance at all?
Yep. I was watching and cheering for Emma the whole time.
Emma! Yes. So what were your conclusions on this weekend? You know, looking at the top 30, you know, top 64 that they posted, the coverage that you saw, Hallie, what did you take away from this weekend?
Bancoco is still good.
Yeah.
It is so good. I am, well, I'm probably just going to play it because I've been a Bancoco player, and I'm definitely one of those, if you can't beat him, join him kind of people. But I was just really impressed with how the deck played. It's definitely a really slow, grindy mirror, which I'm usually not a fan of, but I feel like if you can get enough reps in with it, it can be pretty doable. I was really impressed with... from what I saw of Thalia this weekend, I was really impressed with Spell Queller. It definitely seems like the Bant deck got a lot of interesting tools, and it seems pretty damn near unbeatable right now.
Katie, what were your observations after this weekend?
Well, I took a look at the decks, and I was like, it's the same old thing. No, there was some new stuff. I like the Black White Angel control. I think it's been a long time since we've seen a deck do well that's kind of in the realm of like, it has high end threats and you kind of have to hit your removal spells like basically every single turn to be able to keep up with the other decks. And it's been a while since I feel like we've seen a deck do that. And so I was kind of glad that this deck cropped up and made the top 8, because this is the kind of deck I like to play when it's in a field where, like, we've had a lot of formats where you need to hit removal spell turn 2, specific removal spell turn 3, board wipe turn 4, threat turn 5, and kind of have, like, a perfect hand. And I typically like those decks when they work, like everybody. So I was really excited to see this deck crop up into the top 8, because it's kind of the deck I like to play. But I did like how we're seeing Ishkana Grafter.
Yes.
She's, that guy's awesome.
Making her appearance. So I'm excited to see where that'll go, because I feel like people were just dipping their toes in the water so far.
Yeah. Chris, what did you think of the Spirits deck? Because that seems like something I could see all three of you getting into. Like, it reminds people a lot of the Fairies list that we know from Modern and when Standard was legal, that very lots of flyers, lots of tempo, you know, playing the flash counterspell game. Like, is that something you're into?
Oh, yeah. That would be a lot of fun. And, you know, I'm looking at the list that Jeff Hoogland had, and Mausoleum Wanderer just looks like they will be my bae. I don't know why. I was just so happy to like get a playset out of the boxes that we got and everything. And I was like, I want to make that a thing. Rattle Chains, you know, I finally want to be able to use rattle chains. And in standard, it would probably be super fun. I just have done like nothing with standard lately. So this would probably be something that would bring me maybe to want to do it. I don't know that we need any Avacyn. Like, I just don't do angels. They're just not my jam. Like, they just never have been. So I probably may cut her out of there, but I understand she's a baller car, but just not my flavor. But I would do spirits, I think, in standard. I was also happy to see the black white angel control, even though I'm not into angels. And green red goggles. Good to see that, I guess, goggles is still hanging around. And I give Emma credit for saying that she played so many, Bantcoco mirror matches, because that's one of my most dreaded things in the world, is having to play the mirror over and over and over, especially after, you know, you have back-to-back Aetherly mirror matches. Let's not say we did. So I give her mad props for powering through that. So I want to see more and different from a standard, if that makes any sense. I get that Bantcoco is like super sweet, but I just want like something else, like something like super spicy, just to like take it over in some way. Because mirror matches get boring. So I have hopes that someone can do it. I just want to see it happen.
Yeah, I felt that way when I played Seasons Pass. And you remember, Chris, the last PPTQ we went to right before we took our break for the month, I played this guy and I was like, I got like a couple minutes into it and I was like, I'm going to go get chicken. Here's the match lip. I'm not doing this. Like, yep. I mean, I was nice about it, but I was like, I would rather eat chicken than do this, because this is just painful. And, you know, there's just some matchups, like the ad nauseum mirror. I've only ever faced it once, and I scooped once I saw the Lotus Bloom. I was like, I know what this is. Nope. And, you know, God bless them. You know, I'm not being shady towards them. There are just some mirrors that Emma wants to win. Emma wants to be on top. I don't. So I have no problem just signing the match slip, be like, here you go, girl. Like, I am not going to hard cast Simeon's Spirit Guides and try to swing and kill you that way. I'm just not. And, so I can relate to that. That's what the ad nauseum mirror comes down to. You hard cast your Simeon's Spirit Guides and that's what you win the game with.
That's how dreadful is that?
Thank you. Yeah. So it's pretty bad. But yeah, Seasons Pass came in seventh place. I was very happy to see that. I actually really liked Casey's version. I thought it was very lean. I would pick that up again. Black Green Delirium. Todd Stevens had a really awesome list. I think he had probably the tightest list that I saw. Lots of creatures in it. There was Deathmist Raptor, Den Protector, which we haven't seen in a while. Gnarlwood Dryad, which he was a big fan of. There was the Mindrock Demon. A lot of cards we just really haven't seen very much. He ran four copies of Liliana. I heard that Liliana overperformed this weekend for a lot of people, so that's good news. But yeah, I'm very excited to see some more of the black green. There was also a blue black zombie emerge list that came out of Japan recently. I thought that was really cool. I would love to see more of that. I'm kind of like you, Chris. I'm really hoping that, you know, if we put a lot of these pros in a room, you know, some of the greatest minds in Magic, and we give them these cards, maybe we'll see some cool things. And then, you know, maybe they will try to, you know, outdo Bant Company. And that's kind of my hope. Like, again, I love, you know, Bant Company is obviously very good. Green My Tokens is very good, but you know, we have so many sweet cards, and it would be a shame if the only ones that we're seeing just fall into that neat little archetype. Like, there's got to be some other hidden gems here somewhere.
Yeah, I was hoping to see more emerge decks, I guess, emerging into the top eight. I see there was one that came in 49th place, a green black deck, which seems pretty cool. I really like Decimator of the Provinces. It reminds me a little bit of my old friend Craterhoof Behemoth. And so I really want to see somebody make that work. And this deck seemed pretty cool. I didn't actually get to see it on camera, so I'm not sure like what its matchups were, or, you know, what worked and what didn't work. But I would really like to see more people try to do more with Emerge, because it seems like a really cool mechanic.
Yeah, it's a mechanic that people have predicted could be the next Delve. Like, if people agree that there's something there, and it could go either really well or it could go really haywire. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There was a blue-red emerge that got 64th, that did, like, the whole Matter Shaper, Sky Spawner
yeah.
deal. So, it's on the outskirts. It's trickling in.
Yeah, Matter, Reshaper, and Emerge is just broken. Like,
yep.
I had somebody, I was playing Modern the other day and I was facing Eldrazi Taxes and I had, somebody had a Matter, Reshaper, and then they blocked and then they flipped over a Grafdigger's Cage and I was like, oh, that was a nasty feeling, but that happened. And speaking of Modern, Modern continues to be the healthiest it's ever been. If you look at the top 16 here, there is something for everybody. Scapeship, 16th place, Ad Nauseam, 15th place, Mardu Tokens. In 14th, yay. What? With Crackling Dooms. Awesome. Jeskai Control in 13th place. Eldrazi Taxes, Jund, Living End, Esper Control, Burn, 5-Color Aggro, Abzan, Mono White, Hapers, Merfolk, Affinity. Good time to be playing Modern. Modern is such a breath of fresh air right now, and I can't wait to play more of it.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I faced a list the other day that was like Mono White Prison. But it had, I know, right? It had that, and then it had, but it also had the Thopter Foundry thing going on, and it was just it's one of those games where, like, you're playing somebody, and you just need them to die, because they keep living. So he would sacrifice his sword, like, he did the sword of the Meek Thopter thing, so, like, I would get him down to, like, 2, and then he'd burn 6 mana and be like, Thopter, gain a life, sacrifice, Thopter, gain a life, alright, I'm at 9, and it's like, no. I need you to just die. Like, that's what I need right now. And then finally they would. And it's like, oh, thank God. And just, it's just very long, grindy games. Oh, I also, by the way, I also lost a Jund match the other day. They played a turn 2 Yixlid Jailer.
The hell?
Yeah, for those playing the home game, Yixlid Jailer, it costs 1 and a black, and it says cards in all graveyard lose all abilities. So your cards in your graveyards are basically just blank cards.
Jesus.
Oh, that's
dirty.
I haven't seen it before. Like, I knew it existed, but I was like, I saw them tapping on turn 2, and it was Jund, and I was like, oh, it's maybe a scavenging. What? And I'm like, I don't have anything for this. So it's a very terrible way to die. So I was talking about, you know, sometimes you just need to die. Yeah, that's what they said to me. They were like, I brought a Yixlid Jailer. Like, I know Dredge is out there and I'm not having it. It was, it felt very bad. So some other news, going on, PAX West, they announced the schedule this year. It sounds like they are, going all out like they usually do, but they're not going to have just one party. It's not going to be just, you know, we're going to do everything all at once. They're going to spread it out. So the World Championship is going to be taking place again. They're going to be having a market. If I understand, like, I guess it's be an indoor or an outdoor market. There's going to be an improv show featuring Allison Lures, who we love. And this just looks like it's a lot of fun. Is there anything, Hallie, can you go this year?
I can go this year. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it.
Okay. Is there anything in particular you're going to check out?
I'm definitely excited for the street fair thing. I really loved how they, did all those decorations with the Eldrazi, like, taking over the annex and, like, breaking fire hydrants and stuff. So I'm looking forward to see, like, what kind of cool visuals we're gonna see this year.
Yeah. Yeah. So some of the other events we can look forward to. So there's Kaladesh with the Pros, which is a panel, a roundtable discussion on the new mechanics and preview cards with some of the pros who are there for the World Championship. Blogatog Live, which will be a live Q&A with Mark Rosewater. Inventor Spellslinging Showdown, which is a combination of a game show and a sporting event. That sounds like it's going to be fun. They're going to have the usual world building panels. PAX Invents the Card panel. Mm-hmm. I'm under the impression you get to, like, design cards on the spot. That's pretty cool. This looks like a lot of fun. Looks like there's going to be a lot to do. Yeah. There was also a post that came out that, featured you, Hallie. It was called Inside a Coverage Team.
Yep.
Did you happen to catch this?
I did. I was kind of surprised. But yeah, this was a post that my boss, Greg Collins, wrote to sort of give a clearer view of what actually goes into coverage for each weekend, sort of breaking down what the different coverage writers' responsibilities are, what the coverage, what the video coverage commentators' responsibilities are, and also bringing some good news that there will be more video coverage at 4 GPs this year.
Woohoo!
Which I'm really excited about because I definitely always want more coverage. There are some weekends that I've, you know, gone to tune into a GP and I was like, oh wait, there's no coverage of this GP. Sad. So I'm really glad that it looks like Indianapolis, Warsaw, Dallas, and Denver are all going to have video coverage, which is really cool. So definitely hope people will tune into that because it should be a good time.
I want to talk about the part, your part, Hallie. So Greg says something here. He says, when our community team elevates a human interest article from the magic site to social media, such as Hallie Santo's piece about a father and daughter playing together at GP Los Angeles, and it gets 22,000 likes. And apparently. And is seen by over 600,000 people. What?
That's what I said.
I know.
I mean, what does that feel like? Like, whoa.
That feels really weird. Especially since it was my first coverage gig ever. But I actually really enjoy writing those kinds of human interest stories. I know I'm a competitive player and I enjoy, you know, talking to the pros and getting to know them better and, you know, getting their insights on decks. But I feel like so many of the average Magic players can, connect more to these sort of human interest stories. And, I definitely enjoyed covering this story just because it shows just how much the demographics of the game have changed. Like, when I was given my first chance to do coverage, I wrote about our friend Barbara because, you know, she is not what you would consider the target demographic for a game like Magic. You know, she's a mom, she's, you know, a woman of a certain age, and she is really, really into this game and, you know, is not what you think of when you think of a Magic player. You usually think of, you know, men in their 20s and 30s. And, you know, just being able to show people how much that's changed and to show people that, you know, this is what a Magic player looks like. This is a 5-year-old girl in oversized Channel Fireball sunglasses and a backwards baseball cap playing cards that she can barely hold in her hands. Like, that's what a Magic player looks like. And apparently that really resonated with people as much as it resonated with me.
Yeah, and I think Greg kind of touched on all of that in his article. You know, you mentioned the changing demographic of the game and what exactly people are watching it for and the kind of people that are watching. And that's something that, you know, that's a criticism that often gets levied at coverage. I'm not saying that it's right, but they'll say, you know, well, they're talking too simple, or why are they, we know what this means. Why are they not going deep enough? Why are they not next leveling? But the average person at home isn't into all of that. Like, they want to just see, they want to see, you know, kind of on the surface. They're not looking for like the next level plays. You know, they're tuning into it. Maybe they've never watched coverage before, and just sort of, you know, the difference between the play by play commentator, the color commentator. You know, I was really glad that Greg elaborated on that, because some people forget that the way that coverage is aimed at people is sort of aimed for more of the person who doesn't know what's going on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, you know, for those of us, you know, who know what the cards do, we don't necessarily have to be zoomed in. We don't necessarily need that graphic of the card on the side to remind us what it does. We know what these cards do in our sleep, but that's not really who coverage is for. Mm-hmm. You may have noticed also on social media that Wizards has been adding little hashtags to their posts. Specifically a hashtag that says hashtag WotC staff or Wizards employee. And apparently this has to do with some sort of legal market laws, I think. Do we know what the specifics are on this?
I don't.
Okay.
I was wondering if like something happened and they went to like DEF CON 1. So I was like, where did this come from all of a sudden?
Yeah, it's really tricky. So like, I've been looking at the official post, and it says here that it's an effort to improve transparency. They are adopting some social media guidelines. First, it will help readers identify employers of Wizards of the Coast. And second, they will ensure Wizards is consistent with all laws and regulations applicable to business media. Yeah, that kind of sounds like something went wrong. And then there, I know there was some concerns about the fact that it's going to, you know, intrude upon, you know, people like Maro, who squeeze so much into their tweets, and it's so much good information that, you know, they may have to cut down on what they can say because they're too busy shoving this hashtag into everything. And I know that some of my friends who work at Wizards have changed the way that they use their social media. Like, our friend Allie Medwin said that after that announcement was made, she will no longer talk about work on her Twitter account, and that she may even not talk about it on Facebook either. Allison Lures made a separate personal Twitter account for herself now, where she's like, this is just going to be me, this is just going to be Magic. And so it's been interesting to see the way that each employee has sort of dealt with this change.
Did it seem a little like snippy to you guys when I read it? I guess maybe I read it in the wrong tone of voice, but like that last paragraph. But as we know our fans, we know this is something that would generate discussion if simply done without notice. Like, it just seemed like they were like, quit your complaining and we're writing about it now.
See, I didn't take it like that. I mean, I could see why you would, but no, I took it to mean just like that they know that we can be a little thirsty, you know, and you know, sometimes there can be a little bit of a Chicken Little attitude sometimes where everything is terrible. Everything's falling apart. And so I took it to mean, I read it almost like it was like a little pat on the head where it's like, we know you guys like to worry and everything's okay. Like that's the way that I took it. I didn't take it like shady, but I can see how you did.
Oh yeah. Well, through the whole beginning, I was like, okay, so they're going to use a hashtag. And then at the end, it was kind of like, I don't know.
Corporate
news. I read it as a little snippy, but I was like, I mean, the community totally deserves that too. It's not like unwarranted, so it's fine.
Oh my goodness. So
yeah, the sentence that I found most baffling in this announcement is in the second to last paragraph. So these hashtags are not badges to verify employment because theoretically anyone could drop these hashtags into their posts. And what I guess I don't understand about that is if anyone could theoretically, use the hashtag, then why does the hashtag exist at all? I guess.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That was the point of confusion for me. And I guess another thing is, I mean, I understand that this is meant to prevent posts from being taken out of context, but, you know, when someone like Mark Rosewater tweets about magic, you know, most people follow Mark Rosewater because he is the lead designer of Magic. Like, people know who he is, and that is why they are following him, and that is why they're reading his posts. Like, I feel like it kind of goes without saying that, you know, he's the lead designer for Magic. It's in his little bio at the beginning of his, at like the top of his Twitter account. So I don't see why there needs to be extra emphasis on it. But then again, I mean, I'm sure this is all, you know, for some legal reason that, you know, we're not really aware of.
Yeah, people were coming up with some alternatives on Twitter, and they were like, well, why don't you just change your username to, like, Watsy Allison, Watsy Mark, Watsy Aaron? And they said that they ran it past legal, and legal said no. So it sounds like they might be, you know, we don't know what inspired this, but it sounds like they'd prefer to be safe than sorry. And so they're going for, like, the most obvious, you know, can't mistake it kind of hashtag. And you know, you bring up a really good point, Hallie. Anybody can use it. And so, you know, it's just something I don't think we'll ever really be privy to. And if they, you know, they want us to, they'll certainly peel back the curtain. But if anything, it's amusing. I remember when it first happened, I think Aaron Forsyth was using the wrong tag, or like Mara was using the wrong tag. And Aaron was like, oh no, girl, it's supposed to be this. So like, there was just this little chuckle because Mara was just tweeting and tweeting and tweeting. And it's like, that's the wrong tag. And people were like, are we going to tell him? Are you going to tell him? And nobody told him. And it was just fantastic. So. I love that. I love seeing sort of the human side of Watsy. I think it's fantastic. So anything else before we wrap up the show? I think we had a short show this week.
I have something. So this weekend will be my last weekend in Bozeman. And we have a modern PPTQ on Saturday, which I'm still debating on if I want to go. I'm not sure if my cards are even packed up yet, so I don't know. But Sunday we're having our last judge conference. I'm not sure when Brooke is leaving Montana. He's planning on going to the East Coast. But kind of the last one with us two leading things, and we're handing over the reins to the next L2, so it'll be a very bittersweet event, but I think we have a lot of people coming, so I'm really excited. I hope that we get a lot of new L1s and a lot of interest in the community.
Yeah, I remember you know, you brought this up in the past. It sounds like you've really been integral to building the judge community in your area. Like, that's an amazing, amazing thing.
Yeah, it's really kind of difficult. A lot of people assume that when you become a judge, you're never like allowed to play again. so kind of like, you know, trying to spread the word that the more judges we have, the more everybody gets to play. If everybody just kind of takes their own turn judging an event, you get to play all the rest of them. It's just been a really big community builder, and Brooke has really taken the reins the last few months because I've kind of taken a step back from it. So he's made a lot of new L1s, and I'm going to be doing testing this weekend. So while everybody else is presenting, hopefully I'll be making some new judging.
Well, you know, if Chris can take a break from slaying at F&M, maybe you can test her for her L1.
Yeah, Chris.
I know. I've been
distracted by killing people with scapeshift. You understand?
Yeah, I do understand.
There's that, and organizing my modern collection. And I should really get back to, like, studying again. I'm a bad student. Somehow I graduated college, but...
Did I also see that you hit 100 playmats and didn't, like, really tell anybody?
That happened. Chris. It happened. The 100th one came in the mail. I think I made, like, a little blurb about it on Twitter, but I wasn't going to get too cray about it. So I need to start working on my special content now that I have them all here. So I'm just trying to make sure that my office is a little nicer looking before I kind of delve deeper into that. I also have something. I'm actually going to be on my friend Paul's anime review podcast tomorrow.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. He asked me at F&M if I would join them, and I was like, sure. The name of the podcast is Ma-Namics, N-A-H space N-A-M-E-K-S. And like I said, they review anime. So this week I had to watch three episode ones of a new series that are coming out, and then one like OVA or like single movie type situation. So I'm kind of excited to see what happens, because I don't really know the other gentlemen that are involved in the podcast. So I'm ready just to kind of, I guess, ham it up with them and talk about anime, including the fact that one of them was very, I don't even know. I would almost call it hentai. I almost Paul a message on Facebook Metro, be like, what did you make me watch? Like, Nick's like, this is good. I would watch this again. I'm like, I think you want to watch it for the wrong reasons. So, I don't know when the episode will be out, but you can find it, if you're interested, at mahnamekspodbean.com when it comes out. And Paul, my friend that I play Magic with, it's his show, and he also runs a production company called Prep Time Productions. They're into manga and anime, comic books, the whole nine. They have a Facebook group. It's quite an experience. So I'm excited about doing that, and I'm hoping to also hit up some PPTQs this weekend, but I don't know if they're actually happening or if it's all in my mind, because any information I'm trying to find about them is kind of not there. So I guess I need to call and find out if this is happening.
Oh, I have the dates and stuff if you want them.
I do too, but I'm like, but I'm looking at like the store's website. It's like nothing about it. It's like, this is something important. Like, how do you not have this on here?
Yeah. And don't forget, we are doing a streamer showdown next week, Thursday. We are back with an Eldritch Moon draft.
Yeah.
Woohoo! Ooh. Katie, do you know if you can make it?
I am hopeful that I do. We don't move in till next Tuesday, so God, I hope I have internet by then. I'll die if I don't.
They'll find you in the corner, like, exhausted with your little train whistle, like, oh, we got someone back here, just be like tooting your little whistle.
I really am so excited that Aaron got that for you, because right after we got off recording, like, he's like, I totally bought Katie this train whistle. Of like, shut the hell up.
Yeah. It was a good thing I didn't go to Barnes & Noble, like, that night, just rush over there, like, I need a train whistle stat.
So if anybody's enjoyed listening to the show, how can they find you all, and how can they get a hold of you?
So I'm Hallie. You can find me on Twitter at HalCanSan. That's HalCanSan. You can also find me on Snapchat at HalCanSan. I actually sent a snap to Chris the other day, and yes. I was super proud of myself, because I was like, oh, there are some snails on the ground. Oh, I should totally send a snap to Chris. And I was like, wow, I finally like had the impulse to send a Snapchat to someone. This is awesome. So I'm slowly getting there. I'm slowly joining the 21st century or whatever. And you can also find me on twitch.tv/HalCanSan. I'm in my new house, in my new office. It's really hot and sweaty in here, but that's okay. I'll probably buy a fan or something next week. And yeah, hoping to do some streaming soon. I just need to set up a schedule and figure out when that's going to be. I'm still putting together all the furniture in this office, but once it's all ready, I will be streaming.
And I'm Katie. You can find me on Twitter at Mean Mugger. That's MeanMugger. Or on Twitch, twitch.tv/MeanMuggerMTG. Or on Snapchat, Katie.Neil14. Today I sent out a snap of me petting Watson's head with my feet. So there's really exciting things happening on there with me.
I love that one. It made me so happy.
It was awesome. Great.
And I'm Chris. My Twitter is at TEHKRIZ. My Gmail is YOTEHKRIZ@gmail.com. I also have a blog. I hope I update it in the next 2 weeks because the idea is swirling around. I need to sit down and write it. It's just not there yet. But it's backtablesmtg.wordpress.com. And I have a Snapchat cryptic command spelled with K's. I've just been lazy and haven't found much to snap. Blame Pokemon Go.
And I'm Erin. You can find me on Twitter at OriginalEstrus. That's OriginalEstrus. You can email me at OriginalEstrus@gmail.com. Twitch.tv/OriginalEstrus. I have a good computer so I can start streaming soon. So I look forward to joining you guys in the ranks of the streamers. Snapchat, OriginalEstrus. You can find us on Twitter at @TheGFBracket. Email us at TheGirlfriendBracket@gmail.com. Find us on Twitch, twitch.tv/TheGFBracket. And every Friday at GatheringMagic.com. Thank you all so much for listening, and we will talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.